Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody is very happy this evening. Who is that? Amen, everyone. Praise God. Such a joy to see you all once again. I remember, I guess 2 years back, I preached from the same stage. It's such a joy to see all of you coming from different places to this place. And I thank God for Pastor Brian and his family and all the church members. And for Brother Arun Garu and his team, I can say that. And Brother Stephen Garu and all the people who gather here to worship the Lord. And I'm so happy to see all the young people open their hearts and they worship God. Such a beautiful worship. Shall we give a clap offering to Almighty God because of his young people? God bless you. And we pray that God would empower you and use you more and more for the expansion of God's kingdom. So, God is gracious in our lives and He's moving so powerfully all the places of this world through our ministries. As Brother introduced us, I came from a place called Rajahmundry from India. And it is the Lord who is moving so powerfully in India and all parts of this world in these last days, in these latter days, in fact, I say. God brought us together to fulfill His purpose and His plan in our lives. And He brought us to this place so that we must be empowered by His word and lighten our spiritual eye to see His power and glory in our lives. We are humbling ourselves to come to this place and to deliver the word of God tonight. Shall we close our eyes for a while, and I would like to pray and begin my sermon. Father, we thank you for this beautiful time. We thank you, Lord, that you are the author of our salvation, and you are the author of peace. We thank you, Lord, that you brought us to this place with a plan and purpose to enlighten our spiritual eyes to see the inheritance in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you saved us and brought us into the light so that we can enjoy your blessings in our lives. We thank you for all the people who gather here to listen to your voice and to hear your message. Father God, speak to them and speak to me, speak to all of us and revive us and refresh us with your word. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. God's people said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Once upon a time, there was a Sunday school student just going to this Sunday school on Sunday. And a man who didn't believe in God, he was an atheist. He stopped that boy and asked him, "Boy, where are you going?" Boy replied, "Sir, I'm going to Sunday school to worship my God and to listen to the message of Jesus Christ." And that atheist started arguing that boy, there is no God, and you know, the religion is just an illusion. There is no God and there is no supernatural power in this world. And he said, "Boy, if you can prove that there is God, I will give you a chocolate. If you can prove that there is God, I can give you a chocolate." And that boy replied to that atheist, "Sir, what do you believe?" Then he said, "I believe that there is no God. There is no power in this world." Then the boy said, "If you can prove that there is no God, I will give you a chocolate box rather than a chocolate." Sometimes, you know, some people, they're arguing that there is no God. But I can tell you, since there is God, because there is God, we are still alive today. And God has empowered all of us to worship Him, to honor Him. Tonight, I'm going to explain certain facts from the Bible, the Word of God. Shall we turn the Bible and see? If you have Bible, please turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. I would like to read verse 8. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 8. I would like to read a verse from the Bible. Please turn with me if you have Bible. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 8. "So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God." The mountain of God. Elijah reached the place called Horeb, the mountain of God. When we read the Old Testament, we can see the spectacular biographies of so many God's people, especially prophets of God. They prophesied many things about the coming Messiah.
our Lord and Savior.
And one of the spectacular and beautiful prophets in the Old Testament was Prophet Elijah. His life was so powerful, full of enthusiasm and eagerness to serve God and to carry the message of God to the people's hearts. And he did not fear the kings and anyone, but he shared the word of God to every person on that land. The Bible says Elijah traveled for almost 40 days and 40 nights, and he reached a mountain called Horeb. And the Bible says it was the mountain of God. Horeb was the mountain in the land of Egypt where Moses met God for the first time in his life. God spoke to him and revealed his plan on the Mount Horeb. And God said, I have seen the afflictions of my people. I have heard their cries, and I would like to choose you as an instrument to deliver my people out of the hands of Egyptians. And that was the mountain where Elijah reached. My friends, as we gather here to hear the message of God, Horeb is the place of God, the ultimate purpose and reality of life. And we are here to reach that place. And we are going forward to reach our destiny. The Bible says God has a plan and purpose for everyone. God has a specific plan for your life, a definite plan for your life. And reaching that plan, reaching that, the peak of that mountain is our goal and is our ultimate passion and eagerness. Elijah reached the Mount Horeb. That's, we should understand the fact, even before he reached that mountain, he had gone through certain places in his life. I would like to mention three important places where Elijah visited and stayed for a couple of days or a couple of moments. And finally, he reached the Mount Horeb. As we are going forward to reach the destiny that God has destined in our lives, we must go through these three wonderful places in our lives. I would like to mention those places and give you some spiritual insights and conclude my sermon. The first place Elijah visited is a place called Brook Kerion. Shall we turn our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17? I would like to read a couple of verses from verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 17, I would like to read from verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these days except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did accordingly to the word of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Elijah did according to the word of God. God commanded him to go to a place called Brook Kerion, one of the important places in Israel. My dear friends, as Elijah stood before Ahab, and he was telling something very spectacular. And one thing I would like to let you know. Elijah was standing before Ahab, and he was telling that, I stood before God. No matter what the person standing before you, you must think that you are working for God. You are standing in front of God. You are standing before God to fulfill his plan and his purpose. Elijah stood before Ahab, and he was telling, I stood before my God. Even I have to obey to his voice. And he proclaimed, it was not a gospel, it was not a good news for Ahab, but he was condemning his badness and his rebellion against God. And he was saying, there will be no rain nor dew for 3 years, 3.5 years. And the word of God said, get away from this place and go eastward and stay there for a couple of days at Brook Kerion. One of the important places that Elijah visited is Brook Kerion. Kerion means separation. In the Bible, every word, every place carries an implicit message, a wonderful message. Here, Brook Kerion means a place of separation from the word. Sit there and stay there
I will command, I already commanded ravens to feed you. Supernatural provision of God was provided to Elijah when he sat at Brook Cherith. My dear friends, in order to reach the mountain Horeb, or Mount Horeb, you must go through this first place called Brook Cherith. That means separation. You know the reason God called us, the reason Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, the reason Jesus rose again from the dead, so that we must be separated from this world. We live in this world, but we are not of this world. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We go through in this world, but we are not of this world. We don't belong to this place. We are heavenly citizens. God called us to be his people. God called us to be his ambassadors. God called us to show his supernatural power to the world. Elijah, in order to reach the Mount Horeb, you start your journey from the place of separation. You must separate yourself from the world. Elijah did according to the word of God. He obeyed to the voice of God. My dear friends, God called us to be separated from this world. So many people are, thinking, and they say, Pastor, it is not easy to be separated from this world. We are living in this world. We are bound with this culture. We have friends that we should please them every day. We have surrounded by so many people. We must talk to them and we must please them so that we can stay with them and we can live with them. Bible says we must be here. We must belong to this world. But we should carry the message of God to this world. For that reason, God called us. Even Apostle Paul mentioned the same fact to the church of Corinthians. Shall we turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. One of the important messages in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I would like to read certain some verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I would like to read from verse 14. Apostle Paul was clearly mentioning to the church there, and it was the foundation for every believer. He was saying that, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with the lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Hallelujah. We are the temple of the living God. There are five differences and distinguishes between certain things. He was saying there is no fellowship with righteousness with lawlessness. And no communion has light with darkness. And there is a difference between Christ and Belial. There is a difference between believer and believer. And there is a difference between the temple of God and idol. We must be separated from all these things. There is a difference between righteousness and lawlessness. Today, when we observe the world is full of darkness. People are living in darkness. And they are enjoying the darkness. They are not coming to the light of God. Jesus said, I am the light of this world. Whoever walks in me, they will have the light of life. But the people are rejecting God. They are not coming to the praise of God because they love the darkness. The God of this age, the God of this universe has blinded the eyes of all the unbelievers so that they can't see the glory and power of Lord Jesus Christ. People are living in the darkness. But now God called us into his marvelous light. We are no longer belong to darkness. God called us to be his people. And we are enjoying the light of God. There is a much difference between unrighteousness and righteousness. Difference between darkness and light. Difference between Christ and Belial. And when we got separated from this world, what are the benefits? If you ask me, Brother Wesley, what are the benefits that we can get if we are separated from the world and living for Christ and living for Jesus? The Bible says God has promised something very beautiful promises and remarkable, spectacular promises are there. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. There are two incredible promises recorded in that word. I will dwell in them. God's presence makes a big difference in our lives. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's the New Testament covenant. New covenant. I will be their God and they will be my people. When we got separated from the world, or when we separate our lives from the traditions of this world, from the rituals of this world, and from the darkness, from the unrighteousness, and from Belial, from idols, what are the benefits that we can get? God will be our God and we will be his people. And not only that, God has promised, this is promised, his presence, I will dwell in them. I will dwell with them. Do you have an assurance in your heart that God is with you all the time? Can you claim the presence of God wherever you go? Do you have that confidence that God is with you? My dear friends, God gave me that confidence. Wherever I go, I can claim the presence of God. I feel his presence. I can experience his power every place that I move in my life. Because the Bible says, I will be with you and I am with you all the time. While Jesus Christ was ascending to the heaven, he said, I am with you all the time. That was incredible promises given by God. When we got separated from the world, the Bible says God can dwell with us and we will be his children forever and ever. Even Jesus prayed like this. Turn with me to the Gospel of John chapter 17. The Bible says, the Gospel of John chapter 17, Jesus prayed like this. One of the beautiful prayers Jesus made while he was on this earth. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. And the Bible says in verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. You will be hated by the world and by the unbelievers because you are not of this world. Though we live in this world, we are not of this world. We have a higher calling. We have a higher purpose than all the people living in this world. That's why every Christian, every God child should remember that God has called us to be separated. When we have that life, God's supernatural provision will be provided to everyone. When Elijah sat at the brook Kerith, God commanded ravens to feed him. Incredible, incredible things happened. When Elijah sat there, the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and the bread and meat in the evening, he drank from the brook. There was no lack in the life of Elijah. When you obey to the voice of God, when you keep his commandments, recorded in the New Testament, love God and love your neighbor, and God is your provider. Hallelujah. He provides everything that you need. Every in the morning, every in the evening, ravens brought meat and bread and fed Elijah. You know, when we understand the life of ravens, they always take from someone. But here, even they got the new heart, that God has given them new heart, they started giving to Elijah. God can use something unusual to bless you and to provide you when you obey to the voice of God. In order to reach Mount Horeb, the ultimate place, the place of God, the place of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, we must go through the first place called Brook Kerith, where you can obey to the voice of God, learn something to sit in the presence of God, then you will be provided supernaturally and you will be fed supernaturally by God. The second interesting place, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 9. The Bible says, God commanded Elijah to go to another place called, a place called Zarephath. Chapter 9, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. The second incredible and interesting place that Elijah visited is Zarephath. It's a small village in a place called Sidon. And Elijah dwelt there for a couple of days. And God commanded, a widow to feed Elijah, even in the time of famine, in the time of drought. The Bible says Elijah went there. Verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. One of the beautiful stories recorded in the Bible on Kings. Sometimes God acts supernaturally and God acts wonderfully and miraculously. A widow, she had nothing. And God commanded widow to feed Elijah. And God said, Elijah, you must go through Zarephath to reach the Mount Horeb. As I told you earlier, every word in the Bible carries a wonderful meaning. Zarephath means a place of refinery. A place of refinery. Otherwise, Zarephath means refinery. You must go through a place of testing in order to receive God's blessing. Your faith will be tested. And your life and your prayer life will be tested sometimes. God said, Elijah, go and dwell in Zarephath. That means your faith must be tested there. How God tested the faith of Elijah? God said, go and I will ask a widow to feed you. And as soon as he entered the village, a widow was there gathering the sticks. And Elijah asked the water. Widow, can you get some water for me? And while she was going back to her home to bring the water, he started asking, why don't you bring a bread to me as well? She said, sir, I just had a handful of flour and would like to bake a bread and eat it and afterwards we'll die. There was only chance of living for one day. And it was a time of testing for both the people, for the widow and for the Elijah. You know, Elijah was standing before a widow and asking something. And widow has nothing to give me except one bread. And she gave everything to the Lord. She gave everything to the prophet. And finally what happened? Both the people were blessed by God tremendously. Hallelujah. God tested them. And they proved their faith. They confirmed their faith. And finally, God began to feed them. And God has done so many miracles in their lives. I wonder many times, you know, as a believers of God, we also go through certain places where our faith will be tested. Your faith will be tested in your family sometimes, in the place that you work, in the university that you are, you know, getting education, you're pursuing your education there. Sometimes there will be situations God allowed in your life so that you must prove your faith. You must say that I trust God alone. I put my faith on Jesus alone. I don't trust the chariots of this world. I don't trust the people anymore. But I trust my Jesus in all the times. God allows certain situations in our lives. In 2004, I was invited to a youth conference in Singapore. And one of the prominent men of God in the world, his name is Srinath Bankay, was the speaker in that meeting. And I was, I was one of the attendees there. And I was sitting like you in that meeting. Bankay was preaching, and after the preaching, he said, I'm going to collect the offering to evangelize Africa. We are going to conduct a big crusade in Africa, and I want you to support that ministry. And then I'd like to give an offering to the Lord, and I just took off my wallet out, and I started searching for money, and I found only $12 in my wallet. I had to live in Singapore with those $12 for 1 week. I had to survive there. Because I didn't know anyone there. I just went to a conference and, one of my, my dad knows some people there. And they invited me to that place and I was staying with them. I was in the conference and God told me, while the offering box was coming, God told me to empty my pocket, to empty my wallet. It was a big challenge for me. Giving $12 is not a big deal at this time, but it was a very, very big deal on that day, because I had everything in my pocket was $12. And I took $2 out of my pocket and started giving to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit God was talking to me, you must empty your pocket today. Lord, this is not India. This is not my place that I should my pocket empty. There is no one who can support me in this place. But God said, prove your faith. Confirm your faith. I will definitely help you. I will supernaturally provide my provision for you. And as the offering box coming to me, I just took off all the $12 from my out of my wallet and gave it to the Lord. And I said, Lord, here I am, obeying to your voice. I have faith in you. and you will never ever disappoint me. And for that reason, I gave everything to the Lord. I didn't have lunch at that time because nobody invited me for the lunch. I had to buy the lunch, in fact, but I didn't have any money. And no tea, no snacks in the evening, no dinner at the night. The conference was over at about 11 o'clock in the night. And I went to Pastor Reinhard Bonk and asked him to pray for me. He just laid his hands on me and prayed for me. And he said, God is going to use you mightily for the expansion of his kingdom. I said, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful word. And I take it in my heart. And I started moving out of the auditorium. I had a confidence at the time that I have two cards with me in my wallet. One is bus card, to every place I can travel. And I had a phone card. I can call anyone in Singapore. As soon as I, came out of this auditorium, I got a good news. Even the last bus was, it left the ground. Even the last bus was gone. And I had to walk almost 40 kilometers to reach my place. There was no money to go by taxi. All the auditorium and the parking lot was emptied. And I was only person walking alone in that night. About 11:30 in the night, I started walking 40 kilometers to reach my place. At that time, God started helping me. There was a red vehicle, very luxurious car going on. And they just, came back and asked me, hey, gentlemen, you're walking alone in this night. Do you want a lift? Then I said, yes, sir. I certainly need your help. Then I just sat in the car and started praising God. Lord, I would like to go to my place on a bus, but you sent me a wonderful card. Thank you for your provision. God started working in my life. And after that, at about 30 minutes, I reached my place. And that old couple staying in the car, they just gave me $100. I didn't even know them. I didn't know their names. I didn't know their phone numbers or email, nothing. They just opened their wallet and gave me $100. Young man, keep them with you. God is telling us to give you this offering. I started praising God. I gave only $10 that God has commanded me to give. Even within 24 hours, God has blessed me with $100. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's not about the money I'm talking about. God confirmed my faith. I proved my faith. When God told me something to do, I obeyed to the voice of God completely. That's the faith that you should have on God. That's the trust you must put on God. That's why Elijah crossed a place called Zarephath. Zarephath means refinery, a place of testing. Every metal can be tested at a refinery. Gold or silver, whatever. Every metal can be tested at a refinery. A refinery, it will not break you, but it will make you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So whenever you prove your faith, you will be the child of God, enjoying all the blessings of the Lord Jesus in your life. Elijah passed the test. Even, God tested Abraham. Abraham, give your son Isaac as a burnt offering. That was a bigger challenge for Abraham in his lifetime. There was no chances to have photography and videography and all the things there. Isaac was the only son given by God at the age of 100. Isaac was the hope, and they believed Isaac is a promised seed. And God has blessed them with a promised son. And God demanded Isaac to be burned, to be given as a burnt offering. Abraham and Sarah obeyed to the voice of God. And the Bible confirmed, Holy Spirit God confirmed in the book of Hebrews, that Abraham gave his son as a burnt offering. The Spirit of God confirmed that. Abraham was succeeded. And he got success in the test. He passed in the test. That's why God called Abraham as the father of all the believers in Israel. Hallelujah. The title did not, God did not give the title freely. Abraham achieved it. He got it from God. Sometimes our faith will be tested. Some people may think, when they are going through some difficult situations in their lives, terrible situations, unexpected situations, they think that, their life seems to be end. They're thinking that, you know, when they lose their hope, they think that, you know, our life is the last condition, last stage. And everything is going to end. At the time, God smiles at you and He said, God smiles at you and He says, it's not the end, it's just a bend. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God will take to you another place. God will take to you another level in your spirituality when you trust Him and when you put faith on Jesus. That's why God is demanding an accurate faith in everyone so that we will be glorified. The Bible says, Elijah, go to Zarephath, and I commanded a widow to provide for you. And Elijah stayed there, and God provided supernatural provision to Elijah and that family where it was staying. And the third place Elijah gone through, we can find it in the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. And right, I would like to read verse 40. 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 40, the Bible says, Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal and do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. The Bible was talking about a battle on a mountain called Carmel. I've been to Israel for so many times, more than 10 times I've been there. And one of the incredible places that I like is Mount Carmel. We can see the Valley of Armageddon from the Mount Carmel. Elijah got victory over Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel means vineyard, a place of fruitfulness, a place of victory. So Elijah, in order to reach the Mount Horeb, he had to cross another place called Mount Carmel, where he got victory over the prophets of Baal. The Bible says, seize all the prophets of Baal and execute them. Elijah did it, and he got the tremendous victory on that mountain. Yes, in order to reach the purpose and destiny that God destined for you and God has designed for you, you must go through a place called Mount Carmel, where you can get victory from the power of God. Because the Bible says God has called us to be victorious. When we go through the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 37, and in all these things we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. What does it mean? Conqueror means the one who stands in the battle and gets victory, called conqueror. But what about more than conquerors? That means we stand in the battle, but somebody fights for us and victory is ours. Somebody shout hallelujah. We will just simply stand in the battle, somebody fights for us and gives a credit to us. That call more than conquerors. Yes, the life is a battle. We fight with so many things. Young people are fighting with so many things today. They are fighting with depression. They are fighting with ungodly people. That they are fighting with unbelievers around them. That they are fighting with, you know, the worldly traditions and the cultures that are dominating their lives. And some people are fighting with pornography at this time, because so many young people are being addicted to a lot of addictions today. As we counsel so many young people in India, you know, my friends, so many young people are, you know, they are suffering from suicidal tendency. Whenever their parents, they say something to them, they're not willing to take that word in their hearts. They're not willing to obey to their voice. And they would like to go away from their houses. They would like to commit suicide. Because the devil is tempting them. The devil is taking them away from the God's presence. And the Bible says, even every group of people, every person, somewhere down the line, they are facing difficult situations and they're fighting in their spiritual life. As we are the God's people, in spiritual realm, we are fighting with the wickedness of the devil. We are fighting with the demons. And we are fighting with the spirits in the above. And this is the time to get victory over all those things. There was a young man in our church. He was brought to me, to my office, certain days back. And I was talking to them, talking to him and asking him, why are you so disappointed, downcast? And he was saying, Anna, somebody deceived me. Rather, somebody deceived me. And I'm going through a very tough situation. I don't want to live anymore. And I asked him, who is that person? There is a girl started loving me, and we loved each other for almost 4 years, and now she is saying, I don't want to love you anymore. And I deeply got disappointed, depressed, and I would like to commit suicide. I don't want to take that, you know, that thing into my heart. She really deceived me. Then I told him, what have you done all these 4 years? He said, I'm the sponsor to her in everything. I sponsor her tuition fee, college fee. I sponsor her transportation. And I bought a phone for her. I bought everything to her. And I asked him, where did you get the money to buy all those things? Then he said, I got money from my parents. They gave me the money and I started buying everything to them. Don't you think that you deceived your parents? They gave money to get education. They gave money for your college fee. They gave money so that you must go through college and get educated and stand in the highest position of this world. But you misused all those money and give it to somebody else. And you're asking me right now, somebody deceived me. It is you deceived your parents. It is you deceived your parents and misused their money. Think about it first. And later on, you can worry on something. And he said, Anna, you are speaking good. I realize what I really done in my life. I would like to have the true love in my life. And then I started explaining the true love that can be found in Jesus Christ alone. Hallelujah. The love that never, never leaves you nor forsake you. That love never fails. The Bible says love never fails. And I started explaining the love of God that is being shown on the cross of Calvary, demonstrated on the cross of Calvary for the world. And finally, he accepted Christ Jesus and started worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. He came to know the power in God's love. He came to know the power in the name of Jesus. And after that, he called me again. Pastor, I would like to talk to you one more time. And I said, okay, come back. Then he said, Pastor, in this time, 4 years, I didn't even pass even one examination, one subject. There are so many subjects waiting for me in the examinations. That I told him, wake up early in the morning by 4 o'clock and start reading and start praying first. Pray the praise of God and start reading the word of God and read your lessons and your books. Can you imagine? He just passed more than 33 subjects in a single year. In 1 year, he passed 33 subjects. That's a miracle in the college. No one expected that he would pass 33 subjects in a single attempt. And not only that, there were 400 students in that college, and he was the first person got a beautiful job. Hallelujah. Amen. God remembered him. God restored him. God has given him a great heart so that he would be a great testimony and witness for the kingdom of God. That was a victory given by God. If you are seeking victory from God tonight, if you are looking unto God for a breakthrough, expect great things from God, because He is a God of victory. Hallelujah. He conquered the sin. He conquered the grave. He conquered, you know, the devil. Jesus Christ is the winner. And whoever is serving God, they can be victorious in everything. Mount Carmel is a place of victory. And, Elijah seized all the prophets of Baal and killed them and executed them. What is the spiritual mystery that we can understand? The Bible doesn't say that we have to kill every prophet of Baal. But they are in our hearts. Every wrong thing that we are doing is like a prophet, the prophets of Baal. We have to seize them and kill them for the glory of God. Kill anger and aggression, outrage. You know, sometimes, you know, we have something to do for God, but we are not able to do those things. Kill them right now and seize them and be victorious in everything. The Bible says we are more than conquerors in God because He loves us so much. God's love can provide you victory in everything. Many people, they're asking us, Lord, Pastor, there is no one who can love us. Our parents, they don't want to love us anymore. You know, my spouse, they're not able to love me that I really expected from them. But the Bible says the love of God is an unfailing love. The love of God is pure and perfect. Agape. The Greek word used for God's love is agape, means unconditional love. God's love for us is so lavish. He loves us with his everlasting love. That's why Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3, the Bible says, God has loved us with everlasting love. If you can hold that love in your life, you will never be defeated and you will be victorious in the sight of God. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Mount Carmel is the place of victory and fruitfulness. Carmel means vineyard. Every believer, every person accepted Christ Jesus, they must bear fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. If you read that, that is the spirit, that is the fruit of spirit that everyone should bear. Love, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness. These are all the fruits that we should bear in order to bring glory and honor to the name of God. My dear friends, Elijah passed through the place called Brook Kerion. That means separation from this world. And second place he had gone through is a place called Zarephath. That means refinery, a place of testing. Your faith and your life will be tested sometime so that God will be glorified and magnified through you and God will confirm his blessings for your life. And thirdly, Elijah walked through a place called Mount Carmel where he got victory over the prophets of Baal. And later on, he came to the place called Horeb. That's where he was asking God, Lord, what should I do? He was inquiring in the presence of God. Lord, what should I do? Then God said, go and anoint a person called Elisha. He will carry the vision and he will be the prophet to the Israel afterwards. And you know, Elijah received the commandment of God and finally found Elisha and he started anointing him. And Elisha became his disciple. And Elisha served at Elijah for almost 8 years. And later on, Elisha became the prophet of Israel. Somebody shout hallelujah. At the Mount Horeb, God has given him the future plan to prepare somebody to carry his mission and to carry his vision. As the believers of God, God is asking us to prepare somebody to give the vision and mission to them so that they can carry the torch of the gospel to every nook and corner. This is the time to prepare some people, some evangelists and some pastors and some people who can serve God. And this is the time to pass on the message to the next generations. You know, in so many countries, we've been traveling to so many countries around the world. The major problem that we find, not only we, but all the people, all the, you know, the discerning God's children, they found the biggest problem is this, the fathers, they are not giving Jesus Christ to their children. They give everything to them. They are giving the best education. They are giving the best infrastructure. They would like to give the best houses and cars, everything that they need. But they are not giving Jesus to them. They are not giving Bible to them. They are not giving the true reverence to the children. They are not, you know, giving a place to Jesus in their hearts. That's a major problem the world is facing today. This is the time we have to prepare other people to serve God. We have to win some people and we have to anoint some people to carry the mission and vision of God. That's why in our place we started a Bible college called Divine Wisdom Bible College. God has given a vision to prepare and to make some evangelists that can really carry the gospel message to the world. And more than 30 students are with us all the time. And we are feeding them and we are taking care of them. And we are giving the word every in the morning, every in the evening. And we are giving them practical knowledge as well, how to do the ministry and how to deal with the people, how to carry the message of God to certain places. And among them, so many young people, they already became pastors. Hallelujah. They started their own churches and we are giving the spiritual covering. It's our vision to start to do so many things like that. And recently, while I was praying in my room, God was talking to me to gather some orphans, full orphans. And God has given us a vision to start an orphanage where we can train all the children that will come to the orphanage to make them as a powerful evangelist, to carry the touch of the gospel to every nook and corner. Somebody shout hallelujah. And we are going to start it very soon. And there are children, full orphans are there, some children are semi-orphans, but we'd like to take the orphans into our orphanage, and we'd like to prepare them, and we'd like to make them as a powerful evangelist. Prepare the next generation people of God. You know, in 2001, at the time I dedicated my life for the ministry of God, my dad came to me and my father came to me and said, "My dear son, this is the greatest will that I can ever give you. That's the Bible. Hold it with your hand and go to every place with this Bible, and God will do something great for your life." And from that day till today, I just carry the Bible and reaching so many people and impacting the world. And so many people are, you know, coming to the Lord and accepting Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. God is doing so many miracles and wonders in our ministries, and so many non-Christians and atheists that are turning up to God and accepting Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. You know, my dad told me that, "I can't give you anything except the Bible. Have it and keep it with you all the time." My dear friends, my dear parents, teach your children the Word of God. And then ask them to pray more and more and teach them the ways of God. The Bible says whoever walks in the ways of God, they are blessed. Psalm 128 says that. Whoever walks in the ways of God, they are blessed. And God will bless them out of Zion. Zion is the place of worship. Zion is the place of blessing. Zion is the place of victory. Because King David got victory over Jebusites on the Mount of Zion. We have to pray for our children and pass on this message, transfer this message, and so that they would carry the message of God to the world. Elijah prepared Elisha and anointed him and given him authority of God to prophesy and to proclaim the message of God. And as we know, Elijah did 7 wonders and Elisha did 14 wonders. You know why? Elijah prayed for double portion of anointing. Somebody shout hallelujah. And the people could see the power of God through these men of God. We have to prepare other people for the kingdom of God. This is the time to reach people. That's why one of the slogans we use wherever we go: reach one, every one of us. Each one, reach one, teach one, and catch one. This is our slogan. Each one should reach somebody and teach them the ways of God, teach them the love of God, and finally, we have to catch them for the kingdom of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Keep that word in your mind and reach somebody else in every day and teach them the love of Christ. Even we travel in the flight, even we travel in the train, I and my brother, Paul and myself, we talk to somebody else. We talk to somebody else and we preach the word and we talk to them, and we would like to implant the word of God into their heart so that they will receive the power of God in their lives. And we could hear so many testimonies and wonders while we are talking to those people. So many people accepted Christ as a personal Savior. Time to reach this world, the present world. John Wesley, Charles Wesley, George Whitfield, they started a club called Holy Club, and they moved so many places. John Wesley, in his lifetime, he had written 400 books and has given something very precious articles to the Christian church. And he traveled so many places all over the world, including America, Canada, and England, all the European countries. One of the good things that I learned from their lives, all the bar shops were closed while they were evangelizing in England, all the parts of this world. So many people, they came to God, accepted Jesus as a personal Savior. And he started a church called Methodist Church. Somebody came to him and asked me, "What's your name?" I said, "My name is John Wesley." Then he said, "Are you a Methodist?" Then I said, "Yes and no. Denominationally, I'm not a Methodist, but practically, I'm a Methodist. One who follows a method is a Methodist. He has a method to reach the people." And my dear friends, he started at the Methodist Church, and he was the founder of Methodist Church, and he was one of the greatest, you know, servants of God in the history of mankind. One day, while John Wesley was going through a forest to preach the word of God, a thief came to him and demanded everything. And John Wesley gave, you know, one or two pairs of his clothes, and he has given his wallet to the thief, and he took everything and started going away. And John Wesley called him again. "My dear friend, would you please come back to me? I have something great to give you back. I have something great to give you." And the thief was expecting something great than money and everything. He was expecting some gold and silver or pearls or diamonds. When he came close by, John Wesley started telling the gospel. My dear young man, Jesus loves you more than can anyone ever love you. His love can change your life and put you in a position where you can give something to the world, not taking from somebody else. I want you to know the truth. And the thief said, I don't want to listen anything from you. And he just left the place. Several months passed by, several years passed by. And John Wesley was invited to share the word of God in a certain church like this. While he was preaching, many people listened to the voice of God and accepted Christ Jesus. And finally, people, you know, just went to him and prayed for him. And so many people, you know, came forward and started, you know, John Wesley started praying for all those people. And finally, one young person started coming towards John Wesley. And finally, he was asking, sir, even before you pray for me, I want you to recognize it. Why? Is it yours? Then John Wesley said, yeah, this is my wallet. And somebody stole it from me. And in fact, somebody took out of my hands while I was going through a forest. How did you get this one? Then that young person said, sir, I'm the person who grabbed this wallet from your hand. On that night, when I went back to my home, I was remembering all the things that happened on that day. And you said Jesus loves you more than can anyone ever love you. And his love will lift you up in everything. And that verse really lingered in my ears. And I started, you know, meditating on those words. And finally, I knelt down before God and accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. From that day, I was really searching for you to give the wallet back to you. And thank God, I found you today. And John Wesley started praising God because the word of God has a power to change the hearts of people. Hallelujah. No matter the situation, no matter the worst, the condition, the word of God can change their hearts. And that person, young person, started moving quickly, and they both traveled to so many places and evangelized the world. Let us prepare somebody else for God. Even before we leave this world, let us prepare a single person. Or, you know, that God has called us to impact the generation and to share the word of God. Elijah prepared Elisha to carry his vision. My dear friends, in order to reach the mountain called Horeb, the ultimate place of God, the place of blessing, the place where you can receive the words of God, where you can experience the power and experience the peace of God, you must go through all these places. Separation, a place called Brook Kiriath, that means separation. Zarephath, a place of testing. And finally, Carmel, a place of victory. If you go through all these places, I'm telling you, you will certainly reach the purpose and destiny that God has destined for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Close your eyes. I would like to pray for you tonight. Oh, Jesus, we thank you, Lord. All the answers, close your eyes and pray. You must go through a mountain called Carmel, the place of victory. Be honest with God. What is the area that you are struggling and you are fighting, still fighting to get victory? I'm not talking about the political arena. I'm talking about your life. What is the place that you would like to reach? God is inviting all of us to reach the Mount Horeb, the ultimate purpose of God in our lives. God has given this life to fulfill His will and His plan in our lives. Sometimes we are struggling to survive, and we are struggling to fulfill our own desires in this world. But God called us to reach the Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. Elijah reached it. And I wish you would reach the Mount Horeb, the purpose of God in your life. You must go through a place called Brook Kiriath, be separated from this world. There is a difference between light and darkness. Both are not same. There is a difference between righteousness and lawlessness. God has called us to make us righteous by faith and by His glory. We are not bounded by self-righteousness. We are filled with God's righteousness that pleases God, that gives us supernatural provision and faith and peace in our lives. God commanded ravens to feed him. Don't worry about your life and your future. God has a plan for you. Sit at the brook Kerith, and God will command ravens. God will provide you unusual miracles and wonders in your life. Shall we stand together in God's presence? I would like to proclaim God's blessings over you. Shall we stand? Everyone, please stand up. I would like to pray for you tonight. As you are in the presence of God, you must go through a place called Zarephath, a place of refinery, a place where your faith is tested. My dear friends, if you are going through some tough situations tonight, unexpected, difficult, and unfavorable circumstances, look unto Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the sustainer of your faith. It's not the end, it's just a bend. God is going to lead you to another place where you can fully enjoy his presence. Abraham tested. Joseph was tested. David was tested. Daniel was tested. And his friends were tested. Without test, you can't get the blessing of God. Yes, ask God his strength and power to pass the test in your life. Elijah passed through Zarephath, and God provided a supernatural provision through a widow. Elijah must have expected someone, a rich man, a rich person, to feed him. But God had chosen a widow, a least person in that society, to feed Elijah. What a great God we serve tonight. And Elijah passed through a place called Carmel, where he seized all the prophets of Baal and killed them, executed them. This is the time to kill the sin in your life. A man of God said, kill the sin even before it kills you. Seize all the prophets of Baal in your life. Maybe anger, envy, aggression, evil thoughts, fornication, whatever it may be. Seize it and kill it. And be victorious. God has called us to be victorious. Hallelujah. Finally, Elijah reached the place called Horeb. That's where he received the things to be done. And he anointed Elisha as his disciple. He carried the message of God afterwards. My dear friends, this is the time to win souls. God has called us to be the fishers of men. We are here to win somebody else for Christ. That should be our purpose. That should be our responsibility. Fruitfulness and victorious life. Hallelujah. I'd like to pray for you tonight. If you pray honestly in the presence of God, whatever may be the situation you're going through, God is there in control. And he loves you so much. His love will provide you victory in everything. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful evening. You brought our people to listen to your word and to hear your message. As Elijah reached the Mount Horeb, he had gone through three different and incredible places in his life, experiences in his life. Father, we thank you, Lord. Sometimes you're allowing us to certain places where you can test our faith and our reverence on you, Lord. Help us to pass the test. Oh, Father, help us to glorify your name. Help us to put our faith and trust in you, Lord, so that we would be victorious in everything, Lord. I pray for all the people who gather here right now. Father God, you know their hearts. And you know their inner hearts, Lord. Father, help them everything, Lord. As you are our, oh Father God, as you are our shepherd and our Lord, I proclaim a supernatural power and anointing over each and everyone gathered here in Jesus' name right now, Lord. Let them receive your power in their lives, Lord. Hallelujah. I release your power to come upon them right now, Lord. And strengthen them to fulfill your will and your purpose in their lives, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you've spoken to us. Be separated from this world. Then I will dwell with you. And I will be your Father. And I will take care of you. We thank you. And we believe in your promises, Lord. Your promises are incredible. Your promises are wonderful, Lord. We thank you for your promises. Be with them, Lord. Protect them. and be their God all the time and do something that beyond their expectation. Yes. I pray for the church, Father God, bring so many people to this place so that they would experience your power in their lives and enjoy your presence right here, Lord. I pray for Pastor Brian and his family and all the church members and all our Indian friends right here, Lord. Father, bless them and use them supernaturally. Let thy boundaries be expanded in the name of Jesus right now, Lord. Oh, Father God, we pray that the darkness should be expelled from this place, Lord. And let them receive your light, every person staying in this place, surrounding the church. Father God, let them see your light in their hearts and come to worship you, Lord. I pray for all the young people and children right here. They are so precious in your sight, Lord. Father God, I pray that they would glorify your name. Father God, I pray that the devil has no chance and no place in their hearts, Lord. Father God, no hold in their hearts. Right now, deliver them, Master, and fill them with your glory and power and prepare them for the greater blessings, Lord. And I pray that they would stand for you in a very good position to influence so many people with your love. I pray for all the people right here, Lord. Whatever they are looking for, whatever they are praying for, whatever they are seeking for, let them be granted in Jesus' name, Lord. I pronounce your promise from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Oh, Father God, meet their needs according to thy glory, according to your riches, Lord. Meet their needs, Father God. Help us to glorify them. We thank you. And we love you. We thank you for this beautiful time to come together, worship you and praise you and to hear your message. Father, we thank you. And until we meet next time, let your grace be with us and use us for your glory wherever we are. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. God's people said amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you so much for your valuable time to come to the praise of God and hear the message of God. God bless you. And God willing, we'll see you again. Thank you, Pastor Brian. Thank you.